But one of the questions is, you know, you guys are wearing costumes and you're passing out candy and all this. Aren't you supporting witchcraft? Talking about demon possession. Huh? Heavy rain? Yeah, that's hail. Well, anyway, aren't you supporting witchcraft and demon possession and Satan and satanic worship and all that stuff? First of all, the history of Halloween is interesting, and you may want to read the back page, page 4 of your bulletin, where I've tried to give you a little bit of an idea of where all that's coming from. But I think it's important to understand the answer to those who might question are having a booth, wearing costumes, and having fun with kids. And so we're going to talk for a few minutes this morning about Halloween. It's true that 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 22 tells us to abstain from all appearance of evil. But like everything else in the Bible, you have to look at who this is written to. It's written to the church. Who wrote it? Paul did. And why did he write it? Because people were concerned about what had happened to their loved ones who had already died and how they would be treated in the hereafter. And so Paul says, hey, you guys, you need to be spooked out in good things, not evil things. And you can read that account. You can see his explanation to them. A good question is this trick-or-treat program a religious activity? No. Is it for adults? No. I remember a couple of years ago we had trouble with Larry Fox getting into the candy. But that was just fun and games. This is for kids. And how will the community look at it? Do they look at it as we're celebrating a religious thing? Well, certainly not. But the fear of death has always been a scare tactic of evil adults. We have a AED thing back here now. And I guess I'm the only one who has written on there, don't resuscitate me. I'm ready to die. I'm not afraid of death. I'm afraid of the pain of dying, but I'm not afraid of death. Matter of fact, I'm looking forward to it. It's a positive thing. But in Exodus 7, we read that the Egyptian sorcerers and magicians had power over the Pharaoh. And God commanded death to those who practiced that type of stuff. I mean, read Exodus 22 and verse 18. These are all in your passage in your Bible. But he just said simply, don't allow a sorcerer to live. They were not to be guided by people who attempted to use scare tactics to control others. And listen to the kind of people we're talking about. This is Deuteronomy 18, starting with verse 10. Let no one be found among you who sacrifices his son or his daughter in fire, who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft or casts spells, or who is a medium or spiritist or consults the dead. See, this isn't child's play. This type of thing is what we're talking about when we talk about evil adults. When I taught at Riley High School, we had a guy in our math department, Jim Peterson, who had a daughter who was extremely light-skinned and extremely light-complected. She had blonde hair. She had extremely light skin. She wasn't an albino, but she was close. And at this time of year, Jim and his wife had to take the daughter and hide her because there were people who would try to kidnap her to sacrifice her. Remember demons and dragons? And the wars that went on in the streets of Detroit? I mean, there's plenty of evil out there. This is not child's play. And this isn't something that is peculiar to us. In biblical times, the apostles had to deal with the same type of thing in Acts, the 8th chapter. Beginning at verse 9, we read about a guy named Simon who had made a living out of bewitching people. And when he was supposedly baptized into Christ, he was still struggling with his negative mentality. In Acts, the 19th chapter, one of the funniest stories in the whole Bible, we read about the sons of Sceva, who were vagabond Jews and who tried to partake or to involve themselves in an exorcism with disastrous results. So yeah, this is not new. The Egyptians dealt with it. The early church dealt with it. And we have to deal with it. Christians should not be afraid of all these things. Today there are scams out there. Do I have to tell you that? I mean, good grief. All you got to do is read your newspaper, turn on your television, or look at your computer. And there's scams all over the place. And the prophecies that were made about the coming of Jesus and about Christianity said this, all this stuff, whatever powers they had, is going to end. Zechariah 13, beginning in verse 1, I will remove the unclean spirit from the land. It's God in prophecy talking about the fact that when Jesus comes, all this stuff was going to be done away with. In Matthew 10 and verse 1, he called his 12 disciples to him and gave them over authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. God has always provided an answer to the claims of those who tried to use scare tactics. In 1 John 3, in verse 8, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of Satan. One of the things Jesus came was to annihilate all of the power that might have been present in the past from Satan. Colossians 2, and verse 15, having disarmed the powers and the authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. See, one of the purposes of the miracles, one of the reasons that Jesus rose Lazarus from the dead, all of those special miracles and acts of Jesus, each one of which had a specific purpose, was to free us from this kind of fear. We don't have to walk around worrying about something of this type. James 4, verse 7 says, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. I'm not afraid of Satan. Why? He's a coward. He seeks those who are weak to begin with and tries to exploit their weakness. And that's why it's so important for us to be together, to encourage one another, to strengthen one another, whether it's on Zoom or in the flesh. We need to equip ourselves. Please understand, Satan is alive and well, but he cannot thwart the purpose of your creation. God has a design for you. God has a purpose for you. There's a war going on between good and evil. You don't believe that? Turn on your television set. Look what's happening in the world. There's a war going on. And we are key players, but we choose who we will align ourselves with. Job chose not to embrace evil, and there's a whole 38 chapters of discussion and going on through verse 4 of chapter 42 of where that all ended up. Satan is alive and well, but God has a design for your life. And I can tell you from personal experience, he may have more than one purpose. You know, when my first wife died, I sat in the back, you've all heard this story, I sat in the back of my house and said, God, I'm done. I've done everything you wanted me to do. My kids are on their own. Nobody needs me anymore. My wife is gone. Take me out of here, God. No, God had some other ideas. God has a plan, and he uses us in multiple ways. You've been listening to me now for 25 years. Can you believe that? But the thing that brought us here to begin with, I'm convinced, was an act of God. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13 says one of the most important and encouraging passages in the Bible. Listen to this. There is no temptation that has come your way that is not common to all mankind. Now think about that. Is there anything that has happened to you that has not happened to somebody else? Has anybody else lost their wife or their husband or their mother or their father? Well, that's dumb, of course. Anyone else had a serious disease? That's crazy. Anyone else been the victim of somebody that did something stupid? Anybody else here that hadn't been scammed one way or the other? There is no temptation that has come your way that has not come to all mankind, but God will not fail you. Do you believe that? Do you understand that God is a God of action and support? He will not let you be tested beyond what you can stand. But when you are tested, he will see that every temptation has a way out, so you may be able to endure it. You know, what's interesting about that promise is that sometimes God provides a way out that was totally what I did not expect. How about you? What has happened in your life that you didn't expect? And in some cases, the way out is death. I know that's going to be my way out of neuropathy. You ought to see my toes. They're crazy. There's a way out. Whatever pain we have, it'll eventually be gone. See, I'm not afraid of Satan, nor neither should you be. Halloween is just another secular holiday. It has no religious significance. I wish Lisa was still sitting over here. She would know this guy. When I was in the Bahamas, there was a voodoo guy, and I did lectures in Nassau, and he put a hoax on me, a voodoo sentence. He said, "You are going to die within a year." And I said, "Thank you. I appreciate that." And I got an email the other day from one of the brothers in the Bahamas that said, "Guess what? Your voodoo guy just died." So he's gone and I'm still around. We need to understand something. What is voodoo? It is a drug-induced hoax. I'm not saying there's not a lot of evil people out there. I'm not saying there isn't stuff you have to be careful about. I'm saying there is nothing that you can experience that God cannot deal with. But we are, as Christians, need to understand that is a unique promise to us. So Paul writes in Colossians 2, beginning with verse 16, "Do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day, since you died with Christ to the principles of this world." Halloween is an interesting secular holiday. It's a fun time. So yeah, if you want to build on a costume and pass out candy to kids, do it. You want to decorate your house? Do it. Don't worry about all this nonsense. But you know what? Halloween is a teaching moment. It's an opportunity for us to share with people our convictions. We are not to be creatures of fear. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, "God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Oh yeah, there's lots to be afraid of. You can be afraid of the government. You can be afraid of war. You can be afraid of disease. You can be afraid of whatever. But understand that is not to be something that guides our lives. We are to believe what God says and trust in God. And understand that mental illness is not evil. In Luke 8 and verse 26, the man in the Gadarenes and Jesus had a demon. Are there people today that have a quote unquote demon? Yeah. Mental illness is prevalent among us. So we're not talking about the fact that there aren't people that have severe mental problems. I believe our demons can be resolved through Christ and through the Holy Spirit. So if you've got a mental problem, if someone you love has a mental problem, get help. The help is there. But understand that death is a one-way street. You don't have to worry about ghosts or zombies. In Luke 16, chapter, starting with verse 24, there's the story or the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. And in telling that story, Jesus says in verse 26, "There is a great gulf fixed between us and you, and no one can cross it." They say, "Well, you don't believe in ghosts?" No, I do not believe in ghosts. And I've spent a lifetime investigating ghosts. I've told you some of those stories. You know, we were on the Queen Mary, who is now supposed to be haunted. And every single thing that they gave us that was supposed to show ghosts in the Queen Mary, it was easy to explain. I was at a haunted mansion in Scotland. One that we actually got money back from, because they had a deal that if you could explain it or stay with it, they would refund the money you paid to stay there overnight. And every single thing that was claimed to be something of a ghost, I could easily explain. Now, can people make it look realistic? Oh, yeah. I enjoy going through Disney World and watching the holograms of the ghost. And I understand there are people that can do magic stuff that I don't know how they do it, but I know it's real, and I know they know what's going on. But death is a one-way street. A seance is a hoax. And I have people I have worked with who have told me, I had one guy who works for seance people investigating the people that were clients. What was he doing? He was going back and finding out some stuff about them that nobody else knew about, feeding that to the woman that was doing the seance so she could tell people they didn't think that she could know. It's a scam. We are to use what God has given us to repel evil. Ephesians 6, starting with verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. That's not our battle, folks. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. That's why Jesus talked about putting away your sword, Peter. I didn't come to bring violence, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So do we have people out there that are committing terrible deeds and attributing them to some kind of spiritual power? Yes. But listen to what he says as we continue that passage in Ephesians 6. So take upon you the whole armor of God. This is what Christians have. Truth. Righteousness. The gospel of peace. The shield of faith. The helmet. The helmet of salvation. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You want something you can trust? Read God's Word. Can I misunderstand God's Word? Yes. But if I keep studying it, it'll resolve itself. We've had an interesting discussion on our Sunday night dealing with women. We had some different views about that. We're learning. We're growing. But the Word of God is the one thing that you can trust. So don't trust anyone who comes to you with some claim of demonic power or strength. And I could tell you story after story after story of situations that I've been involved with where people claim to have some kind of mystic power or some kind of a ghost or some kind of a spirit, and every single time, if you dig deep enough, you find a reasonable explanation to it. There is nothing for you to be afraid of. Relax! God is in control. And we need to find ways to show our community we are positive, we are active, and we are not fearful. But boy, do we live in a fearful culture. I still remember Lena dressing up as a clown when we had our recreational event here and having people afraid of her as a clown. Fearful. That's the society in which we live. We live in a society that is just rampant with fear. And we as Christians need to set the light. That there is nothing to fear. But we need to trust in God's Word. We need to study God's Word. We need to understand God's Word. We need to be together. So let me encourage you, those of you here and those of you on Zoom, stay with us, work with us. Because it is important that we be able to radiate to the world around us. We are not fearful. We are not afraid. We are not satanic. We are not people who have an obsession with death. But are interested in serving as long as we are alive. Let me encourage you as you think about these things and as you read your bulletin and read the outline that's in the bulletin, to think about what your faith is in and how much it sustains you in the struggles and the things that are part of living. And if you have something you'd like for us to pray with you about, we encourage you to come and express that. Now let's stand together and sing a closing song.